Very good to see a full building this morning, to have you in the number of the gathering. Happy Father's Day to all those who are dads. Certainly a godly endeavor, and one that has got a lot of rewards and a lot of anguish, and we wish you Godspeed in that endeavor. I've been studying the life of Moses and would like to continue that this morning. Look at the life of Moses. There were three segments of his life. His first 40 years, he was raised as an Egyptian, was adopted into an Egyptian family and into royalty, actually. He was highly educated for his time. Became, I would assume, wealthy if he had stayed with it and not left that opportunity. But had many privileges that his brethren in Israel did not have. And so God provided him to be saved from death. The Pharaoh had said that, these Israelites are multiplying. They're getting to be more of them than there are us, and we got to work them harder and be mean and push them down and make them work hard. And so Moses was living a life of luxury while all of his brethren were working and having to make bricks and lay them and building and very hard labor. And so we kind of pick up the story. We've kind of studied the first 40 years of his life, and also the second, when he became 40 years old, he got to thinking about his situation and all of his brethren's situation, and he thought, "Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to visit my people, see what how they're doing." And he obviously knew that they were being punished and severely treated. And so we might just kind of review a little bit of the story there. Find my place here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's see, I apologize, my notes here are a little bit confusing to me this morning. Let's go to start out in the book of Acts. I don't know if I read this the last time or not, but in the book of Acts, Stephen is giving a defense before the council, and was put to death right after this telling of history. And so if we go to Acts the 7th chapter, verse 20, we'll start there and read about Moses from what Stephen, the martyr, had to say. It says, "In which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong to one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou did this Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness in the Mount of Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then continues on and verse 34, I guess we'll read. It says, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. And then, so we see there the kind of the story in the New Testament telling us about Moses and how he was trained to the position that God had for him in life of bringing the people out of bondage. There's a lot of symbolism in Moses' life that also kind of parallels Jesus, our Savior, the Christ of today, that of our time, that it brings people out of bondage, that he's the lawgiver, he's to be our judge. Many parallels between Moses of the Old Testament and Christ of the New Testament. He's called the man of God, not a man of God. There are many people referred to in the Bible as a man of God, but in the New Testament, we don't see a Christ or a Jesus, referred to Jesus. He's the Christ. And that may be sort of the situation with Moses. He was the man of God. He, of all of the people of the Old Covenant, he stood out above others as the man of God. Jesus, or God says about Jesus that he was the most humble of all men. So I think it would be hard for us to kind of imagine after killing somebody, we have to go off into some other country, we don't know anybody, and live for 40 years herding sheep. That's what Moses did. After being educated and having a life of luxury, he goes out into the desert and figures out how to survive and raise sheep. And after 40 years of doing that, then the Lord appears to him and says, I'm choosing you to go and to lead my people out. So let's go to Exodus chapter 4, and we'll pick up, I think we'll start actually chapter 3, verses 3 and 16. We're going to see here God giving him this assignment that you're the person I'm picking to go. And so Exodus 3 and 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Then verse 16, God tells him, Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which was done unto you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of Canaanites. And verse 18, And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, and the elders of Israel and the king of Egypt, and shall say unto him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee. So God assigns him as the one, this duty that needs to be done to free his people. As I was thinking about this, it occurred to me that at this time God dealt directly with mankind, and he could have said, okay, I'm going to free you all and, kill all the people that were oppressing them and just let them go. But God doesn't seem to choose that. He seems, over the biblical history, he chooses people to do his work for him. And in this case, he chose Moses. And it was Moses' job to go and to free the people. But we see Moses a little reluctant. So chapter 4, verse 10, we see it repeated. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since. Hast thou spoken unto thy servant? But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So he says, first of all, you never spoken to me before directly, and I'm not a good spokesperson. I'm not a good speaker. Verse 11 says, And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Have I not the Lord? Have not I the Lord? Verse 12, Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Pick somebody else, basically. I can't do it. Go somewhere else. Verse 14, And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So God gives him an aid, gives him an ability to have somebody to help him with this task. Verse 19, again, we see the Lord telling him, And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return unto Egypt, and all the men that are dead which sought thy life. So, the Lord may not speak to us in a direct way as he did Moses at that time, but we know that today God prepares us for duties that in his kingdom, and he calls, and we need to be ready and prepared. If we see something that we're able to do, or that a job that's not being done that the Lord needs to be done, to be willing to help and to go for him. So in chapter 4, let's also look at, so far, I think we've looked at five times that the Lord has told him, you need to go. And so it says that he did. He gathered his people together and gathered and went to verse 29 of chapter 4, it says, And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. This had to be an inspiring time for Moses, when the people had been praying apparently for years, that they were, the taskmasters were beating them, and they were making them work hard, long hours, slavery, and doing things that they weren't even allowed apparently to worship, and to do things that they felt from their past that they should be doing to serve God. And so Moses, at first, it says here that, and the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children. So they, our prayers are answered. And so for a time there, the children of Israel, it says that they believed. They thought, God is sending a deliverance. And we see that it doesn't last very long. But the miracles that he worked and the things helped them to understand that God is in charge, that he is working and was sending a deliverer. Let's go down to chapter 5, verse 1. It says, And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So we see immediately they see resistance there from Pharaoh. And not only does he not let them go, Pharaoh decides to punish them for asking. And so if we go to chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "And the officers of the children of Israel came out and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dost thou deal thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, which they say, Make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, Ye are idle. Wherefore ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore go now and work, for there shall be no straw given you, and yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. And after it was said, You shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task." So kind of doubled their work. Not only did they have to do more, but they weren't given the wherewith to do it. They had to go and gather the straw to make the bricks and strengthen them. In verse 20, it says, "And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way." So what the telling may not be quite clear there. The children of Israel had people that were over, like supervisors over the jobs. And so these supervisors all go to Pharaoh and say, "Hey, this is not right." And Pharaoh tells them, "Well, you don't have enough work to do is the reason you're complaining, and we're going to give you more." And so these leaders of Israel, the supervisors, are coming back from their meeting with Pharaoh, and they meet Moses. And so this is what this is about here. "And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from the Pharaoh." So they're walking along the path, the roadway, or whatever it was, and Moses and Aaron are standing there, you're coming back from seeing Pharaoh, huh? And it says, "And they said unto them, The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil threatened this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Not too many times did we see Moses lose faith. But he comes back and prays to God. And he says, "You know, these people are not, this is not working." He says, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. It's only causing problems." And he said, "Why did you send me? This is not working." And fortunately, faithful people, good people, God gives another chance. And so in verse 6, chapter 6, he says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see, wait what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he shall let him go, and with a strong hand shall drive him out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, the name of the God Almighty. But my name Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I also have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." So God reassures Moses that he needs to keep going forward, keep pushing forward, that he just needs to do what God has told him to do, and it will come about. To give up or to say it's not working is not Moses' duty, not his prerogative. Being the father that he is to us, God knows when to encourage and say, "Keep at it, just keep doing what's right. My will be established, my will happen." And other times to discipline, when we have disobeyed, we maybe have done and God has the wisdom to know when we need what. And those of us who are fathers, may the Lord give us wisdom to know how to encourage and how to know what to do in various circumstances. Verse 6, it says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the bondage or burdens of Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." Verse 7, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you God, and you shall know that I am God." Excuse me. "You know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth thee out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord." And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for the anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Go, speak unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and let the children of Israel go out of this land, out of his land." And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, whom I am uncircumcised, who am of uncircumcised lips?" And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Give them a charge unto the and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to bring the children out of Israel and out of the land of Egypt." So the Lord just tells Moses, you need to keep pushing forward. You need to do what I tell you to do. It will work. So he goes on to tell the heads of the different tribes there. And then if we continue... Chapter 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children out of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by my judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. So they went and trusted in God. We learn in the New Testament about the Hebrews 11th chapter, the heroes of faith, how that Moses had faith in God, that he would bring about his word and that it would work. And so God is kind of forewarning him here. Well, this ain't going to be easy. It's going to take a long time. You're going to be rejected. Pharaoh's not going to just let you go. And so he's kind of preparing Moses for what's ahead. And verse 16, "And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, which has sent me to thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And I will smite the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood." So it tells about various things that God wants to show his power in bringing them out, and he wants Moses to take the message, to bear the burden of bringing his people out. I say he could have just done it miraculously, but God didn't choose to do that. He chose a person to go and take his message. Today, God uses people to bring his message. So in chapter 6, we see that he renews his appeal to Pharaoh, Moses does to let my people go. Just kind of a quick summary. Chapter 7, he brings all the plagues on the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh each time refuses. Chapter 13, he secures deliverance of the Israelites. They finally go, and when they do, all of the Israelites or the Egyptians give them all their goods and gold and all kinds of stuff and tells them, go, get out of here. And then they try to go follow him and pursue him. And so in chapter 14, they cross the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and all of his army is destroyed as the waters encompass them and wash them away. In chapter 15, Moses composes a song of deliverance. We won't take time to read a lot of these, but we will continue with one more session on this, the life of Moses. Next time we're going to be looking at the many of the summaries, the lessons that we can get from God's interaction through Moses. And we can go to chapter 18. I want to just read there where kind of an interesting thing happens when he gets out of the land of Egypt. They go visit Jethro, his father-in-law, who he lived with for 40 years while he was raising sheep and working with him in the desert. He goes and kind of reacquaints with his father-in-law after this was accomplished. Judges, let's go to the 18th chapter, Exodus, the 18th chapter, and verse 13, we'll start. Let's go back up a little higher, actually, in verse 10, 18 and 10. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the land of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So we see there the place, his father-in-law, who lived in the land of Midian, has become a believer and has offered sacrifices and is celebrating with them the success that God gave to Moses. So let's continue to read there. And it says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw that all that he did to the people, and he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me and inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses, his father-in-law, said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mightst bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So he's kind of saying, yes, you're doing the right thing and teaching them about God. But he says, you can't last. Your body, you just can't do this for this many people. Verse 21, and moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, or rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people in all the seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. That if thou do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart and went his way into his own land. So it's pretty interesting there that his father-in-law had some advice for him that turned out to be good, that he could share the burden of teaching God's statutes to people, training them how to live honestly and in God-fearing manner. And then next time we're going to seeing when the people rebelled against Moses and some of the other things. But I wanted to just talk a little bit about faith and about belief. We see that Moses kind of faltered there for a little bit, but God reassured him that this was his will and this is what he should be doing and that it would happen. And the people of Israel, when we look at the reviews of things in the New Testament, that they had a problem with having faith, with believing, and with sticking with their belief. And I think that's the large problem that mankind has today, is trusting in God, that he is going to do what he says. And that, I know I've worked with people in the past that say, well, I'm going to give Jesus a try. I'll try this. And that doesn't work. If we approach our relationship with God that we're going to give him a chance and see if it works, it won't work. We have to be committed in our minds and our belief and our faith in God that we're faithful till death, that if, like Stephen, that God chooses to take us in our conflict, in our trouble, we trust that God is gracious, that he will reward the faithful. But that most of the time, God gives us relief as well through his will. And if we're faithful, that our lives will be blessed and be better as a result. But it doesn't matter as much as our lives as what God wants us to do, that we are willing to be faithful stewards of his will.